Join me in the book of Acts, please. Chapter 5, verse 12. Acts 5, 12. A short reading here for us this morning. I will be reading through verse 16. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. May the Lord bless us today with understanding. We do read the most holy, inspired, and inerrant word of our Lord God. Verse 12, once again for you. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Why were miracles performed? Why were miracles performed before the people? In John chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus says, "Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." So to answer the question, why were miracles performed? The answer is simple. So that people would believe. Here we see the apostles doing the same thing that Jesus did. After all, they were empowered by the Spirit. They were sent out. Jesus taught them. And so here, as the apostles in their capacity, they are doing the same thing that Jesus did, performing miracles and wondrous signs. The miracles were performed so that the people would see the great power and the great presence of God so that they would believe and would be drawn. We see something very similar in Exodus. God told Moses to perform wondrous signs before Pharaoh. For what reason? So that they may believe. And when God is seen in such a magnificent way, as we would think just a minute back to the days of Exodus and all of that that was done in leading the children out of bondage, and we think of all of the miraculous healings of Jesus Christ, and now here with the apostles, we see God in such a magnificent way. When we see God like this, one of two things happens. Either the people would be drawn by the sight and the presence of God's wonder, or they will be turned away. We see it here in the passage. Look at verse 13. No one else dared join them, even though they were held in high regard. And then verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers. It seems like some sort of paradox or oxymoron. We see that no one would join them, but yet hundreds and hundreds would join their numbers as they come together and worship. We see this today. We see this happening today. We've spoken of this before. You mentioned Jesus' name in a conversation, and again, one of two things will happen. Either they'll be drawn near, or they will be turned away. When we talk about the amazing wonders of God, and you start talking about the amazing work and wonders of the church, again, one of two things will happen. Either they will be drawn, or they will be turned away. Let's speak of those that are drawn. Let's speak of those that are brought near. What's the result of those who are drawn near to God? We see that in verse 15 and 16 here. It says in verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might follow them as they passed by. Crowds gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Great healing takes place when God is at work. People cannot come in contact with Jesus Christ. People cannot come in contact with the things of God and remain the same. There's always great effect. Here we see healing. There's many ways of healing. There's many types of effect. But when one comes in contact with the good news of Jesus Christ, there's a change. There's an effect. And what's healed them? What has healed the people here in this story? What causes such great effect in the people? It's their faith. It's their faith. The people in this story here are of such great faith that they are led to understand that just by Peter's shadow moving across them, there will be an effect. Now, we must be very careful here. Don't think this to be some form of magic. Don't think this to be some hokey story or some great superstition by the people, although that may have been involved in the original participants here, but that's not God's story. God's power can be seen in many, many different things. We see many of them in Scripture, just a few examples. We read of God speaking to men through a donkey. How weird would that be? But yet that's God. In the Exodus story that I mentioned, we see God being represented in a cloud or in a column of fire. And then not too very far or too long ago, we spoke of the woman who was healed by her faith. Jesus said, "You were healed by your faith," when she simply touched the hem of his garment. It's important to understand that the instrument of God's appearing, that the instrument of which God chooses to show or to reveal or to make himself known, that's not the point. That's not the issue. It is the faith gifted by God to the people that leads them to accept and to understand that God is indeed supernatural. God is indeed mystical. God is indeed otherworldly. And he can show himself, reveal himself in any way he chooses. What we see here with Peter and the apostles in this very brief, very short reading is God's influence in the lives of the people. What we see is God's overshadowing influence through those who are called to share his message. Here in this passage, the miracles are performed, wondrous acts are seen, some people are drawn in, numbers are added to their congregation, yet there are some that are turned away. We see the influence of God having effect, having an impact on the community, on the people as they are gathered together. Peter's mere presence as a man of God, as a man of God called to be a witness, just his mere presence is affecting the people. Now, is it Peter? Is he that well-spoken? Is it his vibrant attitude? Is it his vivacious character that, oh, he's a charismatic guy, let's go and follow him? Is that why? No, not at all. It is God working through his people. As Christians, Peter and the apostles are affecting the community simply by their presence. Imagine what our world would be today if it were not for the presence of the people of Christianity. Yes, we live in a sinful world, and it seems to be getting worse and worse every day. But imagine what it would be if we weren't here. Imagine if instead of holding back the influence of Satan, as God says he is doing in Revelation 19, but rather God allowed him to run free and no restraint whatsoever. What would the world be like today? We only have to look at history to see the effects of the presence or the absence of Christianity. A few positive examples. Ancient Rome, in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, following Jesus Christ, the work of the apostles here, and this great outbreaking of this new faith, if I can term it that way, after seeing how Christians cared for each other, how the Christians cared for non-Christians, Rome began moving towards Christianity, if only in word. The Roman Emperor Constantine, many of you know the history, know the story, saw the influence of Christianity and named the Christian faith to be the faith of his kingdom. The Christian influence in Europe, beginning in the 10th and 11th centuries, began to pull the people out of the Dark Ages. And eventually that led to the Reformation of the 14 and 15 and 1600s. And the Reformation, if you want to talk about a worldwide historical effect of Christianity, the world was changed dramatically because of the effects of the Reformation. Now, I must admit, there were negative aspects of that as well. But after the Reformation, the Western world was never the same. But there are negative illustrations here as well. That same Europe that was so highly influenced by the Reformation now stands highly influenced by paganism, because Christianity, by and large, is just no longer present to any substantial degree. Look at Scotland. Once the home of Ralph and Ebenezer Erskine and John Knox and our forefathers, the seceders and the covenanters, who came to America as the associates and the reformers and then finally got together, and now we are this denomination. Where is Scotland today? Stands mainly under the influence of apathy. Just don't care. Because Christianity is no longer the influence. This is the one that always strikes me when I think back on this. The northern coast of Africa. Now, when we think of Africa and we think of the northern coast of Africa, the great bulwark of Christianity never comes to mind. But yet in the 4th century, with Augustine of Hippo, in his great teachings and his great writings, that was the centerpiece of Christianity for a while. But where is it today? The Muslim religion has sway there. In our own country, we were once called a Christian nation. Now, we're maybe debate whether we're completely post-Christian or going towards that way. Well, we were once called a Christian nation, and it was easy to see the Christian influence in our nation. But today, that divide is growing. Yes, personally, I think Christianity is strengthening for those who believe. I think there are significant growths in areas of the church in the United States. But also growing in the United States is the animosity toward the church. And so that line that divides believer and non-believer is becoming more and more and more distinct. Just as the apostles were sent out into land to share the message and to influence the community, to be an influence in the community, so are we. This church is called to be an influence in this community. The question is, will we do it? Will we go out into the community and be that influence? Will we be the ones who God works through to affect the world around us? Or is that someone else's job? Will we live our lives in such a way in this community right here that would cause an effect? Last week I asked the question, if New Sterling ceased to exist, would anyone in this community care? And again, I didn't ask notice. I didn't ask if they would notice. I asked if they would care. I've had opportunity to talk to several about this. Are we making an influence in our community today that if tomorrow that influence were taken away, would anybody care? Would anyone in this community miss the influence of New Sterling if it were gone? As I said, I've talked to several this week about that question. And the answers have ranged from possibly to no, not at all. Now, my sampling was very, very small. But there's an underlying impression, I believe, by many of us, that if indeed New Sterling weren't here tomorrow, would we care? Absolutely. But would our neighbor? Isaiah 6:8 asks, this is God speaking through Isaiah. He asks the question, whom shall I send? Isaiah said quickly, I believe, send me. Send me. I believe God's asking us the same question. And he's not asking us to go to some foreign mission field, although that's part of our ministry. God is asking us today, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send out into the community? What's your response? What's my response? Amen.